Well, good morning, everyone. We sang this song, Away in a Manger, and someone asked me, do you all have snow up home yet? Okay, and I would just say in one word, yes. Okay, there's roughly, I would say 3 foot on the ground as we speak. Okay, so that song, Away in a Manger, takes a whole different meaning, you see, when you're up home, okay, when you're up in upstate New York, because it does. So anyway, I do thank you for the invitation to come, and looking forward to this service and this evening service as well. Now, I'll save out a shoot that before I get too far in the message, that Brother Daniel, this is not the ordination message, although as I was looking at the text for the morning, it could be. Open your scriptures to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 this morning. Want the text to come from a couple of verses, one in particular, but 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Here David is giving some instructions, starts out by realizing the heaviness, if you would, of the ministry and of all that's involved in the work of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God.'" Okay, Solomon, King David realized that, passing on a torch, passing on responsibility, all of that. And the work of the Lord can be difficult, can be heavy, can be times, it's not always easy work, okay, but it is the Lord's work. So he goes on to talk about, if you read the rest of the verses there, you would say, well, this is going to be a message on giving, okay? Well, it's not going to be one, all right? So, but he asked for money for the temple and for all of that, and the people are faithful and all of that, and they give. Verse 10, he starts talking about how blessed he is, and he wants to bless the Lord for being good to them. And then verse 17 really is what I want to think about this morning for a little bit. Verse 17 says, "I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." Okay? Now, What really is he talking about here? Okay, what's the context? What's the subject of the verse? Subject of really the whole chapter, really. I believe one word, and that's what I want us to look at this morning a bit here. Thinking about this evening, but thinking about it, it's a subject that we all need to look at, something we all men, Christian men and Christian women have to address at some point in their lives. And the title of the message is Integrity on Display. Integrity on Display. Let me ask you a question. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands. I don't want you to acknowledge anything to me, but you will know the answer as soon as I ask you the question. Have you ever lied? Don't everybody stand up at once and say, yeah, I have, okay? Have you ever lied? All right? Now, for those of you who might not be quite sure, okay, might not quite understand the question, okay, I will break it down a bit for y'all. Okay? I will give you a Webster definition. Okay? Webster says, and I quote, "To lie is either to make an untrue statement with intent to deceive or to create a false or misleading impression." End of quote. Okay? Now, that definition would be much more, comfortable, I guess, if the second part of it wasn't there. To create a false or misleading impression. Have you ever done that? Okay, I didn't really lie, okay? I just didn't tell all the truth, okay? Or I just kind of misled somebody. It's bad enough to consider those times when we may have said something that just wasn't true. But to then have to think about those times when we created a misleading impression by perhaps not saying anything or by being intentionally vague. That adds to the percentages, doesn't it? If there ever was a sin in which the phrase, everybody is doing it, this would be the one. Yet it has to be called a sin, the sin of lying. Okay. Now, John MacArthur had this to say about the prevalence and popularity of lying in our society today. He said, and I quote, "Our society is built on a framework of lies, leading one to wonder whether our social structure would survive if everyone were forced to speak the truth even for one day," end of quote. So, what does integrity look like? Now, this is something that I think we all have to look at in our lives. What does integrity look like? In John MacArthur's book, The Leader Within You, he tells the story of the building of the Great Wall of China. They built it so high that no one could get over it. They built it so thick that no one could tunnel through it. Then the people of China sat back behind the wall, feeling that the future was secure. But in the first 100 years of existence, the wall of China, China was invaded 3 times. Now, you might ask, how? How? The enemy did not come over the wall because it was too high. They didn't tunnel through the wall because it was too thick. So how did they get in? It's not a trick question. It's history. It's history, okay? How did they get in, okay? Each time China was invaded, the enemy came through a gate that was left open. You see, those who guarded the gate had been bribed. While the people of China sat comfortably behind the wall in the security of what they thought was the safety of the wall, they failed to teach their people integrity and honesty. And friends, they paid a high price for that error. Okay. What else does integrity look like? Well, there was once a, and this is kind of more me, I guess, there was once a salesman who was waiting to see the purchasing agent so he could submit his company's bid. While he was waiting, he couldn't help but notice that his competitor's bid was sitting on the purchasing agent's desk. Unfortunately, though, the actual figure of the competitor's bid was covered by a Coke can. He got to thinking, how could it hurt? Just one little quick look. It would give me an upper edge, see. No one would ever know. So he reached over, lifted up the Coke can. But his heart sank as he watched thousands of BBs pour out of the bottomless Coke can and run all over the desk and onto the floor. You see, it was a test, wasn't it? Set up by the purchasing agent. I haven't used that one, but I've used other ones. But it was a test. And he failed. Needless to say, he did not get the company's bid or his business. So, what else does integrity look like? You know, they say that in any message, you're only going to remember 10%. Brothers, okay, keep that in mind. 10%. But they also say that if you give someone a visual, okay, they remember 20%. It doubles it, okay? So this morning, I want to ask you all a question, okay? What does integrity look like? Keep that thought in mind. Now, I'm sure you all can see this. I would think so. What is this? Don't everybody speak at once, okay? How much is it? It's a $20 bill. It's a $20 bill, okay? What is the, in the United States of America, what is the value of this? It's pretty new, okay? It's not a trick question. It's worth $20, okay? It's worth $20, okay? Nothing really wrong with it, okay? Right? Pretty good bill, all right? Would you like it? Would you like it? $20 bill. Don't everybody, you know, y'all can speak, okay? Sure, I'd like it. Alex, you want this? Alex, you want this? Sir? You want that? You don't. Okay. Tell me if you now want it. Now what's it worth? $20, really, seriously, you think? You think it's still worth $20? Even though it's wrinkled and marred and crumpled and all that, and don't do this at home, by the way, but you know, it's still worth $20, you think? Is there a lesson here? No matter how scarred and bruised and beaten this $20 is, you're telling me that the value is still the same. Friends, Jesus looks at the heart. Okay? Man looks at the outside. Many times in life, we go through times in life when we are scarred and bruised and beaten, and we think that we're not worth very much, don't we? But God says, you know, I died for that son, that daughter. And I don't care how they look on the outside. I love them on the inside. Because they're special, they're precious, okay? That's integrity. Integrity is what the heart is made of. Becoming people of integrity means, taking from John Maxwell's book again, he quoted, deciding to integrate my heart's value into my daily actions. Deciding to integrate my heart's values into my daily actions. End of quote. As we seek to clothe ourselves with the characteristics of Jesus, I think we must look long and hard at the question, am I a person of integrity? Jesus, when defending himself against the Sadducees and Pharisees, the leaders of the day, said this about himself, John 10:25, I told you and do you not believe? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, Jesus is saying that what I say and what I do testifies as to who I am. What I say and what I do in life testifies as to who I am. A person of integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. If we had to be pure in heart, we need to be also pure in action. Integrity is making my daily actions line up with my heart's values. Mark Twain once said, and I quote, speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot less stress out of life. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything, but if you tell a lie, you have to remember everything. End of quote. Integrity provides us with security. Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. In our society, a society with, let's say, no moral absolutes, anything goes. When people can choose what is right and wrong without having a standard, the question is, how does one choose? How does one choose what is right and wrong? I believe if we live a life of integrity, those decisions in life become a lot easier because our values are different. Integrity provides us with hope for the future. Job 4:6. Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Hope for what? Are we hoping that tomorrow it's 80 degrees out here? Okay? Be nice, but anyway, that's not what I hope is based on. I trust not. Hope that someday when we stand before God, we will not be ashamed, brothers and sisters. We will not be ashamed, okay, of who we are and who we were. And we won't be ashamed of what God thinks about us nor says about us. Every day we must ask ourselves, am I modeling integrity? So how do we do that? How do we become people of integrity? What can we do to change, maybe don't need to change, but or just tweak, whatever, our life so that we can experience the benefits of integrity and the blessings of God? So point number one, we'll call this point number one, ask God to examine and to reveal my heart. Ask God to examine and reveal my heart, because that's where it starts. Now, this is where I need a little bit of interaction with y'all. How many of you have ever, and I haven't, but how many of you have ever had an EKG? Okay, fair number of years. Okay, what is the What is the purpose of an EKG? Anybody? What's per- determine to determine the health of the heart, right? Okay, they don't do it to test the blood flow. I don't know what they do. What the purpose of it? But to test the condition of the heart, to help find potential problems, and to help diagnose future problems. Okay, so it's a test of the condition of the heart. This physical testing of the heart, I think, is what God does to us in a spiritual way. He needs to come in and find out the conditions of our heart and fix it before any major problems happen. 1 Chronicles 29:17, again. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things to you. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willing to you. See, God is pleased with people who live with integrity. There is, what you believe in your heart will be determined how you act when placed in compromising situations. And we all get placed in those situations time to time. Like, for example, the story of the man in the Coke can. Integrity is really what you are when no one else is watching. This is... That is no one but God, of course, who's watching all the while. Friends, you'll only be characterized by integrity if you prove to demonstrate it. Are you really who you say you are? Are you the same? I mean, this, today you all look good, you all smell good, you all got your hair parted right and all that. How are you Monday morning? Okay? Or Wednesday morning, or Thursday morning, or Thursday night? How are you then? Psalm 26:2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." So at this point, the question must be asked, how does God show us what is questionable? And it's kind of already been alluded to. How does God show us what is questionable? And also, what is the the characteristic of integrity? Where does it come from? How is it determined? Point number two. Read and study to know what is true. Read and study what? Reader's Digest, the Sports Illustrated, the what? What? No, the Scriptures. Read and study the Scriptures to know what is true. Throughout Scriptures, you'll find words like what? Like honesty, like purity, like truth, like uprightness, holiness. These words are all synonyms translated from the same root word for integrity. So, if we're going to live lives of integrity, we must know what it looks like. Okay. That comes from how? That comes from spending time in the Scriptures. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved by God, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I said earlier, without having a standard, you will not be able to determine what's right and what's wrong. So I guess, friends, one question here is, what is your standard for determining situations which are, maybe not black and white, but you may call them gray, okay? Things that are questionable, okay? If you take time to read and study the Scriptures and God's Word and apply the truth to your own lives, then you will be able to make those decisions easier. Because the Scripture is the only, and that's already been said too a bit, the Scripture is only the only standard for living that is true and unchangeable. It doesn't change. Okay? So, I would trust in your heart of hearts that you believe that the Bible has answers to life's tough questions. And there are those tough questions. You all, as a congregation, you have experienced some of those tough questions of life. It also has the power to help you make it through difficult situations, difficult times in life. And the practical truths that can help you to be all that God intended you to be. You'll never come into a into the stability in life if you fail to spend time in the scriptures. You'll be like a boat tossed to and fro. Point number three, always be ready. Always be ready to apply God's word to your daily activities. Always be ready. Okay. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks intently, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Walking integrity means integrating all of what God's word says into your daily actions. All of it, okay? It's not a smorgasbord where you choose and pick what you like, okay? You take it all right? So, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So at this point, I give you another quote from John Maxwell. He says, and I found it quite interesting, but he says, and I quote, education without application is abortion. Education without application is abortion, end of quote. The fact is that God's word has quite clear instructions for each of us. If we do what God says and apply what we learn in our lives, we will become people of integrity. And again, as was said, you know, as people look at us around, okay, what do they see in us? Okay? I'm not necessarily saying Sunday morning because we're all, you know, alike here, okay? But I'm saying out in the world where we're not all alike. Okay, and I may live 6 hours plus from here, but we all breathe the same air. Okay, and we don't all think alike, do we? We don't all see things alike, do we? Okay, so how do people see us when they see us? As a result of poor planning, a man needed some same day dry cleaning before he left on a trip. Maybe it was Eddie, I don't know. No. He remembered one store with a huge sign that says 1 hour dry cleaners. Now, from that, what would you think? It was on the other side of town, so he drove all the way to the other side of town to drop off his suit. After filling out the tag, he told the clerk, I would need this in 1 hour. She replied, oh, I can't get it back to you until next Thursday. The man, with a little bit of disgust, said, your sign says you do dry cleaning in 1 hour. No, 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 she replied. That's just the name of the store. Was that, is that, could that twinge on being misleading? Okay? I share that to say this. We must live up. We must live up to what we say we are, okay? All right? If we're Christians, brothers and sisters here of like precious faith, if we are, then we need to live like we are, okay? Again, a person of integrity is the same on the inside as they are on the outside. And that requires us to be able to apply the word of God to our lives. Point number four, remain faithful. Remain faithful no matter what, okay? Because there's going to be those times in life when you are tested, okay? Have you ever had one of those days and weeks where nothing just seems to go right? Where things just nothing seems to happen that happens and that's good, all right? So when those things happen to me, I always think of Job, all right? Job 2 verse 3 says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. God commends Job for his character. He is blameless, upright, fears God, and shuns evil. My question is, how's it get any better? How's it get any better? His character was good. He lost his home, his children, his wealth, his health. He lost it all, and I say this, and you think you have a bad day. God's asking us to remain faithful no matter what happens in life. And And friends, I'm going to tell you up front, that's not always easy, is it? I can say it here and say it relatively easy, but to live it out, isn't always that easy. But God's asking us to remain faithful no matter what happens in life. Point number five, refuse to be persuaded by others. Now, there's something in life called called peer pressure, isn't there? Okay. Now, those of us who are a bit older and a bit wiser, maybe doesn't affect us like it did when we were 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, probably. Job had three friends, didn't he? I guess you could call them friends, I guess. Okay, not the kind of friends I guess I would care to have, but they kept trying to convince Job that he had sinned and against God and that he needed to get right with God. But in his heart of hearts, Job knew better, didn't he? It wasn't enough that Job had friends that didn't support him. He had a wife who was a bit questionable here, okay? Job 2, 9, and 10. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." That's a wife of encouragement right there. That's who you want to have to marry, young men. Okay, no, not really. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What's he saying? You know, so he said, "Are we always supposed to expect good things from God? Is God always supposed to pour on blessings and never experience any adversity, any tough times in life? We must never let others dictate who we are or what we do. They must never come between us and what is right. To become people of integrity, we must purpose in our hearts to do what is right, even if the whole world is doing wrong." And they are, okay? Again, the phrase, "everybody is doing it," becomes real. It's one of those lame excuses to justify our actions. People of integrity means that you're willing to stand alone no matter what. That means that really, for the child of God, peer pressure is really no pressure at all. Okay. You see, it's not what other people think about you that counts. We all want to be thought well of, and I understand that, but it's not really what other people think about us, really, in the end, is it? It's what God thinks about us, okay? And how God's final word, God's final judgment, I say it cautiously, trumps everything else, okay? All right? Okay. Job 8:20 says, "Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers." The fact is that integrity has much higher value than riches or fame. Proverbs 19:1. "Better is the poor who walks in integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Psalm 1:1, verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when you come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I say all this to say this. And this is really, this is really where it really, where the rubber hits the road, friends. Simply put, if it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. Okay? You all look good here, and if I wanted a real fair evaluation of who you really are, I'd ask your children. I'd take them aside and without mom and dad, and I'd say, "How is mom and dad at home? How, you know, they look good today." I'd ask your daughter, Barry, how are you? How is mom and dad at home? Okay. If it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work at all. We have to want to be a model of integrity. Okay, again, more is caught than is taught. All right. It means making sure that what we say and what we do, no matter what, lines up with each other. Okay? What we say and what we do are the same. It means making our actions line up with our heart and making sure our heart is in tune with God. Again, as John Maxwell put it, we must decide to integrate our heart's values into our daily actions. We must decide to integrate our heart's values into our daily actions. What I profess to be is really what I am. And I would ask you, friends, this morning, as people look at you in your in this community, okay, in your walk of life, whether it's school, whether it's, you know, college, whether it's workforce, whether whatever it is, wherever you rub shoulders with people, I would ask, what do people really see in you? Now, I'm talking non-Christians here, okay? Well, Christians as well, but what do people really see in you? How would they evaluate you if they were honest? I believe we all need to be take a hard look at that, and I trust each one of you would desire to be people of integrity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning, I thank you, Lord.